Hello and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. We're recording on October 2nd, 2019. Happy
Happy New
fiscal New Year,
Year.
everybody. Yep. What Kyle, what episode number is this?
Looks like 300.
300.
Whoa,
Wow.
isn't that a movie?
Yes, with Zack Snyder, right? In any case, it's
I
our
don't think he was in
300th.
it, but he did direct it, yes.
It's our spectacular 300th episode. So we have a very special guest stars.
I thought it
Eugene.
was just us. Who's here?
You.
Hello. Hi. I
And your
founded
love
this company with
and
my
your
wife.
who's also here?
Yes, I'm also here.
We got the
Ta-da.
gang back together, plus Kyle.
And our special
Yay.
guest, Captain John. Just kidding.
Oh. Happy he had a baby though.
Yep.
That's true.
A very adorable baby.
Whose name is escaping me, but that's probably okay because it's a baby.
So he's swapping the poop deck right now.
Exactly. Very much so. Very, very much so.
We hope he may just, be leaving it there to. No, he's a better dad than that.
And we also have Alex.
Hi, remember me?
Are you
Yay.
the Tsum Tsum guy?
Oh, too soon.
Oh.
Too
So.
soon?
Too soon.
We have to make this a really good show so that the Mosley clan will come back again soon. But we would like to start with kind of a look back at Illuminations, Reflections of Earth.
20 years of LP, day by day.
And no, Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, what that means for us. And well, then we'll talk about a little bit of looking forward to what Epcot means for the future. So, Doobie and Rebecca, what does Illuminations, Reflections of Earth mean to you?
Well, I guess you could say my feelings about Illuminations could best be summed up in the form of a limerick. Has anybody listened to the Slash Film Cast here? Just me? All right. Well,
Just you.
if we have any listeners who listen to the Slash Film Cast, they are cracking up right now. But I don't know. I feel like Illuminations, every time I see it, I feel like we're moving forward now as one, with a spirit born to run, with each rising sun to a new day we go on. It meant a lot to me.
Rebecca, do you have anything more intelligent to add to
Can't be less.
I always thought Reflections of Earth was one of the more perfect pieces of music ever created. The journey it took you on was incredible. It has moments in it that just that chord still has goosebumps, even though not in the midst. I don't have to be at Epcot. I can be anywhere, and I start to hear that song, and I get goosebumps. It's connected to so many things, not just Epcot, but that year. Everybody's watching the celebration around the world. And if you remember Peter Jennings doing the wrap up and then Amy Sewell News using that same music to then showcase all those global celebrations, it's just there's just so much more to it than simply
The show.
the Epcot. Yeah. And I'm sad, honestly, because it was so beautiful. And I was always a fan of Don Dorsey to begin with. I had his album, Blockbusters. I had his album, Beethoven or Bust, when I was younger.
Who didn't?
Fell in love with the Electrical Parade. So there was so much more tied into it than just fireworks, which I love anyway. So it was great there, too. And I had fireworks, huge fireworks.
Can I speak a little more honestly now that my wife has gotten me in the right frame of mind? Illuminations, am I heard? Testing, am I heard? Illuminations, Reflections of Earth was an incredible show. Maybe even the best show Disney's ever created. Certainly no worse than second to Fantasmic. The music was absolutely perfect. The setting, World Showcase, Epcot was perfect. And just the whole mood it set, the earth, the story, if you could follow it, even if you couldn't, the fire barge. But the music is so incredible. To have a show where you can just sit there, close your eyes, hear the fireworks, hear the crowd, and hear the music, and it be almost as good as actually seeing it. it is the second greatest piece of music for a Disney theme park ever, second only to the other Millennium Celebration thing, Tapestry of Nations. So it was beautiful, and it's time to go. I just realized today it was there for more than half of Epcot's reign, so it was time to go. But, you know, it really should not last till the next millennium. But it was beautiful, and I'm just thrilled they've replaced it with something that will not make us forget how beautiful it was.
Alex, any reflections of Earth memories before we get on to that comment?
I mean, I have a lot of memories, but I think Doobie and Rebecca put it, kind of summed up my feelings towards the show as well.
Kyle?
No, I mean, I never had a great affinity for it. Like, I thought it was okay, but I was remarking when we were watching the last one that I was like, if I didn't, because it started pouring like 10 minutes before the show and kind of lasted until it started.
I should be watching it from Norway. Everybody knows, so you can duck into the church real quick. Sorry, go ahead.
Sanctuary.
We were under a big tree, so that helped too.
Oh, okay, good.
But, until the lightning came.
But I told the person, our friend next to me, I was like, hey, if I hadn't seen the show before, I would think that they had to stop the fireworks because of the rain, because nothing's happening.
The globe. Fanboy, come on. You put it in this place. Everybody, listen to Fanboy explain what an incredible, amazing, spectacular this is.
Well, I'm just glad that when they designed this show, this amazing show, they were able to respect those with incontinence who would have to leave midway through the show and take a bathroom break.
The original pee break.
Yeah, it has a really boring part in the middle there.
The globe. Do you get the story from chaos and evolving?
No, because it's on the world is mostly water, so that globe is mostly blank.
And then it opens up at the end. Did you notice that at the end with the fire in the middle?
Yeah, that's not the boring part in the middle. Don't act like you have it. That's the exciting part at the end.
Dude, that's like not liking the Jungle Cruise.
It's got a boring part in the middle. I'm speaking the truth that everyone needs to acknowledge.
And Doobie agrees with you.
No, I agree. It's slow in the middle. It's not boring because you can just sit there and listen to the music and it's perfectly fine. And the globe is beautiful.
The music is great. And the music, I mean, the Millennium Celebration and the presidential debates that they played it at and all that. That's great, but as part of a fireworks show that ran for 20 years.
So are Alex and I the only ones in this crew that have good taste? Is that what I'm learning?
I like it! I mean, yes, but I like it.
I like it fine enough, and I really loved it like 20 years ago, but its time had come.
See, I don't...
really? Did you see what replaced it?
Well, never mind. No.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
But the thing for me is I didn't totally feel that way like I did with the electrical parade. I mean, the electrical parade I adored and I loved, but I also felt it was the delightful old pet that you needed to say goodbye to because it was no longer the delightful young pet. But I didn't feel that with Reflection. I didn't feel it was it didn't feel dated. Did it feel did it feel dated to you, or was it just that you wanted it to move on?
We went a couple weeks ago, uh-huh. And I had sort of felt that way too, but seeing it kind of one last time, knowing that it was going to be gone soon, I was kind of paying attention to some of it. And I think one of the most dated things about it is the song We Go On, which is very much an end of 90s Celine Dion style pop ballad, that kind of song. You know, it's kind of the same way when you listen to the early Epcot music, you're like, oh, this is unmistakably late 70s, early 80s. I can feel all of that influence in this music. And so I realized then that song in particular is really what dates it.
Okay.
Well, that's just the very end, though, right?
Well, no, it's that middle slow part that Fanboy loves.
Oh, good.
And then they have a finale version of it, mm-hmm. And then the, like, let's get you to go home version.
Right.
All right, so we will agree to disagree, because I think seeing that show for the first time today would be spectacular for most guests.
Oh, it's not by any means a bad show. I'm just saying that's the piece that like makes it very evident that this was a 2K, like the dawning of the 2K pop era, is the sound that they were evoking. The message of the show, and being that it mostly was classical sounding instrumentals, was timeless. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they necessarily needed to go in a completely different direction for nighttime entertainment. But I do remember, like, throughout the years, checking Screamscape and seeing all these rumors. I'm dating myself, but like all these rumors of a Reflections redo, like Reflections Part 2, like it would be Reflections : Illuminations : and then instead of Reflections of Earth, you would have a different, you know, version of Illuminations. I'm kind of sad they never did that. I think there were ways to kind of rebrand and repurpose Illuminations and keep it going, but keep it fresh. And instead they just let it stay exactly as it was in 1999. And,
perfect.
Yes. And, but I obviously didn't, I think Kyle is the only one of us who saw the new show, with fresh eyes in person. I caught the live stream, like every once in a while, Fanboy was watching it. I was cooking. But I quite liked the music and like things like the kites and stuff really wowed me. I don't know if we're ready to transition into that, but it sounds like some of you are pretty ho-hum on Epcot Forever.
I just wanted to say one thing before we transition, if I could.
Yes.
So part of the reason Illuminations is special to us is we were there at the media event that kicked it off back in 1999, the Millennium Celebration.
Millennium Celebration.
And that was our first Disney World media event, as far as we know, the first time any.com had done a Disney World media event. And so that was very special for us, seeing it in that context, Tapestry of Nations, the Millennium Village. It was all really cool. The second Figment attraction, which was spectacular, and of course the world's largest ice chest. So it has a special memory in our hearts for all of those.
Nobody knows what you're talking about. You just throw out world's largest ice chest. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
So does everybody know that fountain in front of American Adventure? The giant fountain in there?
Yes.
In front of American Adventure? So for that media event, it was at night, that fountain was completely filled with ice, with just cans of beer and bottles of wine for media to just walk by. It was a big party, more than media. For people just to walk by and, you know, grab their beer, grab their bottle of wine, and have a good old time. So great memories for this guy who doesn't drink.
Speaking of which, I was just at Epcot a couple weeks ago, and I just want to let you know the park is still drunk.
Yay, some things never change.
Is it ever?
So the new show premiered last night. And
What's it called again?
But Epcot, it's a temporary forever.
Limited time show, Epcot Forever.
Epcot Limited didn't have the same ring.
It's running for a year? It's
sometime in 2020, right? They haven't given us a date yet, right?
They've not given us a date.
Okay, so we anticipate about a year.
But it could be forever.
Forever. Quick aside, whenever you hear Epcot Forever, do you want to make an X across your chest? Like Wakanda Forever? That's just me.
Jimmy keeps doing that. He goes, Epcot Forever. Annoying.
I wonder why.
I think instead of an X, it's open to where you just draw on your chest your favorite attraction symbol.
Kyle.
Yes.
Since you were there in person, gone back and... Oh, you were?
I thought you
were.
You didn't see
but
it.
But you are there.
I am here. Oh, no, okay. I saw the last Illuminations. I haven't gotten to see Epcot Forever yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, we are the experts to talk about it.
I was going to ask you if you saw the live stream, because Fanboy, did you watch it from the beginning?
I missed the first, 20 seconds, I think.
Because they interviewed people prior to the show. And they talked to the creative, I want to say the title is director, but also live entertainment head. And he was talking about the show, and he was talking about it as I don't think he used the word love letter, but that type of language, and then it was kind of a look back, a loving look back, and then a look forward is how he described the show.
That's a good description.
And so it was I found some of the choices interesting given the framing.
Well, so I've heard it constantly described. First of all, I mean, some truths. It's a temporary show.
Yes. Truths.
It's a show. It's a show about that is obviously designed to accommodate construction for the permanent show.
Yes.
And it's been described as a tribute to Epcot's past, present, and future.
I did not hear Let's Go Fly a Kite.
Well, so anyway, so and the way I perceive the show is if this was a show they ran for like one night for an Epcot anniversary, great. You know, it's got the classic Epcot music in it. You know, everyone
well,
loves
it's got the classic Epcot songs in it.
Right.
These versions are something you've never heard before.
that is true. But then, and it has the kites and everything, and then it's weird that it goes into a whole new world for, like, more than it should. And I thought they were going to use that opportunity to announce, like, some new Aladdin attraction coming to Epcot. Because, as far as I can tell, that's the only future reference, or lack thereof, in the whole show.
Well, here's my thought on the whole new world. Because it was, I mean, like I think every diehard Epcot fan watching, it was a little bit jarring when it happened. But as it was playing, I mean, I will say I don't hate it. It brings together World Showcase into the mix because it's otherwise a very future world heavy themed show, but you're watching it from World Showcase. So a whole new world brings in the World Showcase aspect. But also you have to think about your average drunk Epcot guest who, sorry, take out an acronym if you want. But you have to think about your average Epcot guest who maybe hasn't grown with the park the way we have and might be sitting there going, why are they singing about a seed? What is this? What am I watching? And where is the Disney? And then here it is at the end, you know? Because like because a lot of the music in this is from Epcot attractions of the past. One Little Spark
still
and
there.
Soarin'.
Still there, yeah.
Are those the only two music pieces in the show from current attractions that are used in current attractions?
Is Horizons closed?
Uh-huh.
I think you still hear the Living. Don't you still hear the Living?
Living
with
the
land?
The
melody is in the pavilion.
Right.
The song with the lyrics is not. And I'm going to guess that, like, as you're going through and just hearing some instrumental music in the land pavilion that doesn't resonate with you, you're not going to connect that with this song about a seed while you're watching fireworks.
Word of motion?
Nope.
I don't begrudge so much the choice of more connectable Disney music, given that so much of it is so nostalgic. But I've never been a fan of A Whole New World as a finale piece. I think they used it to end Aladdin, a musical.
Yeah, A Whole New World.
And I found it kind of meh there too. I think that's fine. Okay, enough. Dude, don't need an entire reenactment. But I just don't. When I think about the way that Reflections of Earth leaves me, when I think about the way Happily Ever After leaves me, when I think about the way Remember left me at Disneyland, this show doesn't have that thing, right? I mean,
no, it does not.
I don't know. Did it for you guys? Because that's kind of where I was kind of just, oh, when it was over.
I think it was hard. I mean, I usually try not to. I mean, this is an exception because I, you know, for this purpose, I have to kind of familiarize myself with it. But I usually like to wait to see these things live in person. I usually feel like they resonate with you differently when you're really there versus really? When you watch a video of it. But I mean, I don't disagree. Like when I was listening to it, there were moments where I got, you know, goosebumpy, particularly like Tomorrow's Child is a song of Epcot of old that really resonates with me and means a lot to me. And I liked the arrangement of that, except for the little kid creepy singing like a horror film kind of thing. Other than that moment, you're right. The ending, the finale of the show didn't make me feel like, oh, well, you know, what I just saw is really wraps up everything I did today and makes me want to remember this forever.
Well, fireworks, for whatever reason, Disney Park fireworks tend to leave me feeling like I can conquer the world. They're like the best pep talk, you know, like what you tell Rocky before he goes into the ring kind of thing.
Make you want to go out there and knock someone's block off.
And this is something that I wonder why, you know, maybe it's because Illuminations is just so just left, but this is a celebration of Epcot's past and present and future. And like you pointed out, Doobie, Illuminations ran for 2/3 of the park's life.
Yes.
And so, you know, it almost seems like why couldn't they have brought in, you know, the Reflections of Earth music at the end as the finale to be like, yes, we know it just left, but it was a big part of our park and a big part of the show you're watching.
It is a strange call to use a whole new. I liked A Whole New World because I only thought of it in the context of World Showcase.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't until much later that I realized, hey, that's the only non-Epcot song they have in there. And then it really did. It is strange. But just to give my overall impressions of the show, first, the positive. They have a show. They did not go a night without a nighttime show between the Spectacular of Old and the Spectacular of Next. So big props to Epcot for that, very much. That said, this show, I don't understand why they had to use bad versions of the songs instead of, at least where possible, the original songs. I mean, hearing Making Memories, one of my top five Disney songs of all time, this version of it was so unpleasant, especially given my expectations of hearing that song. I don't get why they made such great songs sound so bad. That was the most painful part for me. On the plus side, those kites were really, really cool. That was unexpected and really cool. On the minus side, at first I thought they were drones. So once I realized they were boats tugging them, that kind of hurt a little bit. But still, visually, they were very cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing those in person.
I guess the question I have is, should I treat this like a cavalcade, like when between two big parades, when they do like a little street party? Or is this supposed to stand on its own 2 feet as, you know, amazing nighttime spectacular? And I think as a show that's designed to just be there so you have something, it's fine. It's not going to be something we, you know, unless you're just purely in the nostalgia of it, it's not going to be a classic moment in Epcot entertainment history. But I don't know that it was supposed to.
But have we ever had a period where Epcot had a nighttime show that wasn't supposed to be that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't remember every version of Illuminations, but in between Illuminations 25 and Illuminations Reflections of Earth, there was sort of a different version of it that ran, if memory serves me right. It just, the internet wasn't around and YouTube wasn't around, so I just don't know that we remember it.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I'm sure you're right. It's just having Illuminations for 20 years, you just come to assume, hey, at 9 o'clock, Epcot turns into something special.
I will add, though, that I think they use many more large shells in the show than I expected. I'll be honest.
I definitely felt like they upped the pyro game to compensate for the, you know, everything else they lost.
But maybe, Fanboy, you remember the quote better than I do, but they use a Walt quote at the tail end of this show that I just found.
Epcot will always be in a state of becoming. No.
Yeah, no. That's what he says. And then he goes on to say a blueprint for the future.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, right? It's the blueprint for the future.
Because the future is Cherry Tree Lane.
And I just thought it was a very interesting choice in the midst of something that's nostalgic to kind of, I don't know, drive a stake in the heart of an Epcot fanboy.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I mean, I'm a big fan of Walt's vision for the city of the future that never came to be. It all that having those quotes from his Epcot sales pitch video was kind of sad for me, because, you know, Epcot as it ever was not what he envisioned. It wasn't what he planned. It had elements of it for sure, but it wasn't the Epcot that Walt Disney, you know, was thinking about on his deathbed. And so it was a little bit weird for me to hear that audio mixed in with like this musical symphony of everything that Epcot ever has been, as we've known it in a real tangible experience.
Well, and that's what I find interesting about Epcot as a whole, is there's a huge passion around Epcot, the Epcot that opened in 1982. You know, there's events, and I have lots of theories as to why that has come to pass, but it was...
Enumerate them.
It's the one thing that I think has that level of nostalgia that Walt really had nothing to do with.
Yeah, part of what I think it is now more than ever... now more than ever, the 1980s like aesthetic is very much appreciated. You know, for a while, I think during the era where a lot of the 1980s homegrown attractions from Epcot that were so embedded in that era were removed, it was kind of like, oh, the 80s, laugh it off. Now it's like, oh, the 80s. Look how cool it was. Everything was synthesized and everything was this rainbow stripe pattern and futuristic looking space things. So I think now there's a lot more nostalgia for that. Things like Stranger Things, I think, are kind of proof of that, the fandom around that look and style. So I think that's part of it. I think that's part of what the Epcot legacy fandom is about. But I mean, to me, Epcot has been much more than that. I mean, Future World obviously is this optimistic vision of what we can be, and then World Showcase is this harmonious balance of countries living together, and yet proof of that mankind isn't ready for Future World by the drunkenness around you. So I mean, to me, that's what Epcot is, and that's why I love it. But I think there's a lot of people who love it for that 1980s aesthetic, and no Disney park ever has been more 1980s than Epcot was in that time. I mean, even now, Epcot, you know, it's not like Epcot is trying to be 2019. Epcot is trying to be the future as envisioned in 2019. But back then, it was like, it was this very 1980s specific vision of the future. It's almost like when you look back, when you go to like sci-fi dine-in theater, and you're watching the 1950s vision of what the future will hold. And I think there's a lot of love for that.
I know you'll find out in a few weeks, but you'll see that Tokyo Disneyland is more 80s than Epcot is now.
Oh, I'm so excited.
that's why I found so interesting about this show, is I really feel like it was a surprising way for Disney to cement the future of Epcot is not what it was. It's going to be different. It's going to be a whole new world. It's going to be a celebration of Disney storytelling.
Yeah, yes, it is.
I always took this as the, like, as the, I'm sorry we're ruining the Epcot that you grew up with. Here's our sort of apology. You know, this isn't the show that's going to be running the new when the new park has its coming out party. This show won't be running,
right?
You know, and so this is a get out of your system now, because the Epcot you knew is gone. And I'm not. That's not a value judgment on me. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about Epcot lately, and it's definitely needed to change and grow. We could disagree about the path they're taking, but.
And I think
happen, but
I think it's also worth mentioning here, since not everyone is in tune to things as you guys are, because I read this today. So the next show is going to be Harmonious, Harmony, whatever.
and harmonious, but the U.S. is highlighted.
And it's clear that this is not the Epcot of old, because the quote is, the new nighttime spectacular will celebrate how Disney music inspires people around the world. And the concept art they've put out clearly shows some Disney characters. So there's no question. I'm just sharing that for people who aren't aware of what's coming after this. The characters are coming to the nighttime spectacular.
Right. And characters are coming every inch of that park.
Right.
And that's Bob Chapek's vision. I mean, I don't want to get into the, well, I guess like we can, but that's his perspective, partly based on the success of Harry Potter, is, they need to have people want to go to Disney parks to live branded storytelling. So everything is going to have a franchise tied to it. And, that's taken some getting used to, because that's definite change from the park Walt built.
Yeah.
You could debate whether he, would have liked to have more characters in there than he did, as some would say, but it's not the park, Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, the sort of pair of, at the height of Walt's sort of theme park business, obviously weren't character based. So, this has been going on forever. I mean, we could point to Small World, but this is probably in the last non-character driven nighttime spectacular Epcot we'll see, and probably the last nighttime non-character based nighttime spectacular we'll see anywhere, at least domestically.
And that's why, the choice of the whole new world kind of surprised me, because I kind of thought that knowing that this transition was going to happen, it would kind of be left alone. But they put their stamp on it, and they made it very clear that, because it's been rather obvious that there's a portion of the fan base who isn't jumping up and down with joy over the transition. By the way, I don't happen to be part of the fan base that is sad over the addition of characters. I'm fine with it. But I'm surrounded by people who are passionately disappointed. And so I was kind of surprised to have that moment. And that's all.
You've depressed me to no end, fanboy. You said this is probably the last one in a domestic park. I figured everything was cyclical and we'd come back at some point, especially with the Galaxy's Edge. But you're saying I can give up on seeing major attractions that aren't based on characters?
I think he said nighttime spectaculars.
I said nighttime spectacular. But
all right, so maybe some attractions?
Yeah, you're probably right there, too, that we're not going to have nighttime major attractions, not based on pre-existing storytelling.
I'm going to cry. That's sad.
I think, similar to that feeling, it's kind of the same with a lot of movies and TV right now. A lot of things are just, revivals or spinoffs. And I feel like we're kind of in that era right now. I think the public taste is going to shift again back to homegrown original content for films and television. I think at the same time, it will shift that way for parks. I wouldn't say never. I just think we're in a period where for probably the next decade, you wouldn't expect to see much that's not based on an established property.
To be fair, I mean, Jimmy's older, so he doesn't have as long for that change to happen.
So you're saying in my lifetime, not necessarily in your lifetime.
Exactly.
Fair enough. That seems like a good time to move on.
I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah, I did that on purpose. Yeah.
But I am excited for this show, by the way.
So,
by the way, there is something spectacular new at Epcot and other places in Walt Disney World that makes us forget all about Epcot Forever and even Galaxy's Edge, which is great, but perhaps not as great as some expected. Is that our next topic?
It is now.
There's nearly 300 of them. And it's our 300 podcast. See how that ties in?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yep.
So one of us has actually been on this spectacular attraction. You want to talk about it, Kyle?
Oh, I didn't do that either. No, I'm just kidding. This one I actually did do. Yeah, so I was staying at Art of Animation over the weekend and got to be among the first guests to go on the Disney Skyliner, and it was great for the most part. It seems like it does have a few reliability issues. They're still working out because there was a couple times I encountered closed lines, which makes it sound like closed lines. but other than but when it's working, it works great. So on opening the opening, the first thing we did, we didn't even actually have park tickets. We just spent the day riding the Skyliner, quite literally.
Awesome.
So we're like, okay, let's just try some different routes. So the first thing we did was went from Art of Animation to Hollywood Studios. And to do that, basically anywhere you're going, you have to transfer at Caribbean Beach. That's kind of like their main hub. So even with that transfer to Hollywood Studios, we managed to get there in 15 minutes, and then included a 2-minute delay where we were stopped for a little bit, and that includes on any wait times to load.
You were stopped for 2 minutes in the air?
Yeah.
It must have been really hot.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fine. They're very breezy. Like I knew they would be because we actually took a similar system, a gondola system, in Hong Kong, which is even, if you can believe it, more humid and hotter than Florida. So, and that goes up a mountain too. So some people, one of the things when you're coming into the station, it seems like a little steep, and you come in hot, it looks like you're gonna, maybe because you've ride Pirates too many times, you're expecting to smack into the car in front of you. But it doesn't happen, thankfully. But yeah, so that was their first trial. We also went in between the parks, which, because the lines to load from the parks seem to be a bit longer, especially Epcot seemed to be the most popular destination on the Skyliner. Like I never really had to wait to go to Hollywood Studios, like usually less than a minute each time. But all throughout the day, the Epcot line, both leaving Epcot and going to Epcot from Caribbean Beach, was always packed. So... but even in our longest lines, the maximum wait was 10 minutes when it was actually running.
Wow.
So it gets people through really quickly. Like I said, it's really just a matter of building that reliability. I would say that because of those lines, if you're trying to park hop between Epcot and Hollywood Studios, it might not be the best option because you do have to make that transfer at Caribbean Beach. We actually tried this, whereas I was park hopping from Epcot to Studios and my wife was walking to see if she could beat me, and even subtracting the extra 10 minutes I had to wait because the line was down at the time, she still would have beat me. So,
but she actually did walk, right?
She walked, but she, you know, she does longer races, so she had some speed to her. I think she had an average of 17 and a half minutes per mile.
Yeah. And you say that as if that's an option for us normal Disney guests in the 90-90 Florida weather.
That's the thing. Yeah. If the weather's right. So I'm just saying that there are technically faster options, but if you want to, you know, not be a puddle when you get there, then
that's so awesome. So when you transfer, that means at Caribbean Beach, means you literally get off the Skyliner and get in another queue to get on the other one?
Yes. And then so the other big question mark.
If there's a queue at that hotel, you're getting in the back of that queue, obviously, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The other big question mark is right now when you go to Epcot, you go into the station for the Riviera. And currently it just slows down because you're going through the station. Obviously, the cast member pops their head in. They're like, okay, just remain seated. You'll be up again soon. And they do, I guess, because like Riviera's not open yet, but there's some rooms at Caribbean Beach that are closer to that station than the other one. So they were letting guests load there, but it was slow enough that they were basically just trying to find spots for them and shoving them in. So I don't know what's going to happen when it actually is open and that becomes a busier station. Like, I can't imagine them making you re-queue exactly because it's not a transfer point. So there's definitely some questions about that.
Interesting.
But as far as going from pop or art of animation or Caribbean Beach, obviously, I couldn't imagine trying to take a different form of transportation than just hopping on that, because it's quick and it takes that, well, like I said, once the reliability is there, it takes the whole question. Because the thing I hate about the buses is, you know, if you walk up and the bus is there, fantastic. But if it's, you know, rolling away as you walk up, well, now you're kind of screwed and you're going to wait a while. So I like having the predictability of, okay, just eyeing it and saying, okay, it's probably a 5-minute wait to get on the gondola, and then it's a 10-minute ride there. So
what's the experience like? Are you swaying very much while you're up there?
I haven't noticed any swaying, maybe like once or twice. I think it kind of depends on the winds, the layout of the car. Like, if you know, obviously if you have heavier people on one side than the other, you might sway a little bit. I've had friends that have noted a little bit of motion sickness, not to the point where they felt like they were going to be sick, but just, you know, slight, ready to get off, slightly uneasy. But I didn't notice any of that. And I'm, you know, I can only do a roller coaster once. One of those, okay, type. It takes me a while to recover. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm prone to motion sickness, but I'm also not immune to it. So I didn't notice any of that.
I can add, as far as access, my sister was at Epcot for the first fireworks, and she immediately made a beeline to the Skyliner to get back to their vehicle. And they got in the line at 9:22, and they were in a car when the Skyliner was by 9:41. So, you know, to give you some idea.
Yeah, which is...
And then they were back at their vehicle, their car, I want to say it was like 20 minutes, pretty much, right, from load to there. While people at Epcot, it was taking an hour maybe to leave the parking lot. You know,
right.
You
know, oh, yeah, of course, you have to wait.
You have that.
And even though it's a 20-minute wait, which is, you know, a common wait for the buses, at least, you know, once you're in there, you're comfy. You're not lucky to get a seat with someone standing right over you, or even worse, you're standing with everyone hot and tired. You're in a comfy ride, so it's so much nicer.
That's a great point.
I do want to add, we were, you know, when we were at Epcot recently, we parked and we watched Illuminations our last time, and then we walked to the parking lot and we watched it from like United Kingdom, and we were parked towards the front, so by all accounts it should have taken us a very long time to get out. But the way they do the exits at Epcot, I don't know if something's changed, but we were out of there really fast. Would you agree with that, Fanboy? Like, it seemed like they've zoned lanes differently in such a way where you get out pretty quickly.
I think the fact that you can't, the park can't dump as fast anymore might have played a role.
Okay.
Because there's a big wall in the middle of the park now.
That's true. I didn't think about that. But have you, Kyle? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did you get to do it with and without a wrap? And which do you prefer?
Oh, I definitely prefer without a wrap.
Because... Were there people...
Because you can actually see out of the windows. When it's wrapped, it's really difficult to see. And it also kind of plays tricks with your eyes and kind of makes them strain. So most of the time, like if we were in a wrapped one, I would look out the door. Usually has like a little clear section. So I'd either look out there or I would just like look at my phone. I wouldn't even bother trying to actually see the sights because you can't see very well. I think other people felt the same way. And so I think hopefully people don't try to start requesting non-wrapped ones, because that could slow up the line.
That's what I was going to ask. On the other side, were there people like trying to wait for specific wrapped ones?
I don't think that they have a system where that would be feasible. And it's a little, you have to kind of watch them coming into the station. Once they're kind of stacked and they're loading, it's actually, you can't really, you don't always tell right away that one is wrapped or not, if that makes sense. Like in the hustle and bustle of everything, it's, you're not paying much attention to it.
I did notice, like watching them, because they were running, I think they were doing cast member previews when we were there, but I remember seeing that, like from the door side, that you don't see the wrap. the right. rap is on, like, the other three sides.
And they're also kind of grouped. Like, it's not, like, one and then one and then one and then one. I felt like you'd see, like, a chunk of three or four rapped ones and then maybe a couple of clear ones. And then so it would also make it hard. Like, you can't just wait for the next one. You might have to wait a few, so.
Mm.
One of the things that I noticed about the Skyliner is that unlike a lot of the other Disney transport, there isn't a step up required to get in. So that means if you have a stroller, you can wheel it directly into the Skyliner, which is nice. And then for ADA access, they actually have a spur where you can load at your own pace, and then it weaves you into the main line. So it's not like the whole system has to come to a standstill for you. So, I'm sorry. Oh, Jimmy was giving me a quizzical look.
Here, move on.
Michael, no, that's definitely something I noticed too. Like looking at the design, I thought that was really clever the way that they did that. Like exactly like you're saying, it's a kind of you have as much time as you need, and then it integrates. So that, for the most part, that line just keeps moving. Those gondolas just keep rolling out.
I can tell you, as somebody who uses the ETB when they go to Walt Disney World, I am thrilled at the idea that there is an option other than a bus, because there's nothing more stressful and anxiety driving for me than being the person that's forcing everybody else to stand there while the bus beeps and lowers and I go on, you know, so I'm thankful for it.
So the one thing I think is, I mean, it's not a new development for Walt Disney World Transportation, but it only solves it for guests going from certain hotels to two of the parks. It's not a fix for everything. So, you know, I almost wonder if it's like kind of like how the monorails were attractive to people, not me, but, you know, as a reason to book a certain hotel. I wonder what impact that's going to have for the Skyliner.
I think it will have impact. I mean, it looks really cool. I mean, like the monorail does, you know, just from the outside looking in, I, you know, saw it and said, I want to go on that. But I also feel like it's going to have impact, like, on the resort restaurants at those other locations, because people are going to probably take it just to get there.
Shutters.
I went to Explore Caribbean Beach for the first time because I had access to it.
Oh, that's such a beautiful resort, and the new restaurants they've added.
Oh, and I think its stock's going to go way up just because you can get to Epcot or Hollywood Studios in 15 minutes.
What they've added to that resort in the past couple of years, I think it's Spyglass Grill is there, and Sebastian.
Their cool pool. It's been a few years.
And now
years
you've got that beautiful vista with the water and the Skyliner soaring over the water. Gorgeous.
And it's funny because that was pretty much the back end of Disney Moderate Hotels before, and now it's jumped to the front, I think.
Yeah, and the other resorts that are serviced by this other are two of the values. I mean, it's not
interesting.
Yeah, it's not.
But what's a value at moderate pricing?
Which one's that? Right. Art of Animation.
Yeah, I mean, it holds more people per room.
Right.
I mean, it's not. This isn't a service for, you know, deluxe resort guests. I mean, the poor Animal Kingdom Lodge has the worst transportation of all Walt Disney World.
But the best view.
I'm also interested to see the impact it's going to have over at this. Studios during the concert series, because this is a much more convenient way. You hop on the Skyliner from Studios to Epcot for the concert series, because it dumps you right there at International Gateway, and then you can go over to America Garden. That's what they call it.
That's such a local thing to do,
isn't it though? but that's already what my friends are talking about there, you know, as they begin to think about the future.
Do you know fanboy capacity of this versus the monorail for, you know, X number of monorails on a line? Do you have any idea?
No.
Thank you.
And I wanted to know, have you guys heard, is this like, was this presented as a phase one of a hopeful expansion, or is this kind of, it was just announced as this, and then maybe... because we know how Disney is, we think that they would expand it.
I would be very surprised if it expands.
I think we found out who's going to die first, Ben.
I would not. I think this is a one and done thing, unless it really changes room rates.
It's all about
is that why is that your perception?
Because it was targeting high capacity resorts. It wouldn't pencil out for, you know, anywhere else really, and it's really just to get traffic off of Buena Vista Drive.
Right. Yeah. My only thought was an extension from Studios to DAC to Kingdom, to Animal Kingdom.
Oh yeah, I think that would be very. I mean maybe, but I would be shocked just for the expense of that.
Yeah, that's what I wondered.
And what would you get? Because I don't know that you're going to be able to charge a lot more by going to DAC. I think mm-hmm. you're going to be able to bump room rates up because it goes to Studios and Epcot.
Course.
But I just don't know that. Kind of like how monorail resorts are still a thing, even though it only goes to two of the four parks.
Right. But I was just thinking. I was thinking more along the lines of what you're talking about with taking buses.
Yeah,
the reduction of bus load if you were able to transport your... Because I remember back years ago, they talked about that they had wanted to extend the friendship boats, but there's some species that lives over there that they were unable to do that.
Say never, but I would think Osceola Parkway is probably underutilized. Mm-hmm. I mean, we also don't know how the resort... I mean, I think any expansion would be tied to... you know, new resorts and new parks, not just throwing it up because it's there. I mean, this exactly. happened probably because Riviera and Caribbean Beach were able to kind of throw it in a budget there. So mm-hmm. I would think anything else would be tied to that as well.
Do you know if, as a result of this, they're reducing buses at all?
They're not advertising them as much. So at Caribbean Beach and at Art of Animation, when we go look at the buses... it would say that there was a bus, and it would also flash up a thing to say, or you could take the Skyliner, and it wouldn't tell you the time that a bus was coming.
But has anyone known, have they actually reduced the number of buses that they're using as a result?
I don't know we know that.
I would presume they would. They would probably not just reduce the interval to a bare minimum instead of capacity-based.
But that would never get to the point where this would become more economical.
Oh, right. No.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Kyle, did you ride a wrapped bus?
Yes, we did once.
Did you find it feel similar to the wrapped Skyliner? Is that comparable, or is there something that's different about the wrapped Skyliner?
I think it's different for the Skyliner because the view is part of it. I don't think that the view is part of it on a bus.
Okay.
So I think that's probably, and I think especially because they have chargers on the wrapped buses, so you're like charging your phone and playing with it. So I think
where are
that's
those positioned? The chargers.
They're like in between the seats, kind of like at airports.
Nice.
But going back to the expansion of the Skyliner, I think if anything, it would have to be a completely separate line that doesn't connect to the rest, because at a certain point, if you're going to try to connect all these resorts and stuff, it's actually not going to be convenient anymore, because if you're going to have to keep transferring, now it's going to take you forever to get anywhere.
Right.
So I think keeping it modest is actually probably in the best interest for everyone.
Is there any chance Skyliner will replace Magical Express to the airport?
No.
Okay, just checking. That'd
yeah,
be cool.
You can't have a 30-minute ride in Central Florida on something that has to shut down during lightning.
Good point.
And it has no capacity. Let me spit this out correctly. There is no capacity similar to monorail in it. Like, I'm guessing what I'm saying is you couldn't just put a ring of these around Seven Seas Lagoon if it made economical sense and capture the same traffic that you can with our monorails, right?
I have no idea which is more efficient than monorails or, I mean, labor-wise, it's obvious, but I don't know which can load more guests, monorail or, you know, constantly Skyliner. Double Skyliner.
Because at some point, they got to do something with that monorail. Maybe
Correct.
Replace it with the Skyliner.
I doubt that. But...
Yeah, I, I don't see that, but I do wonder what the future holds for the beloved monorails.
Well, they are
pedestrian bridge.
They are in the midst of refurbishing the interiors for all the monorails, so I don't think they're going away anytime soon.
They may have no choice.
I feel like the dream of having Magic Kingdom be its own little island that you need to take separate transportation to is dying. It's time to retire that.
Pedestrian bridge.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's died a while ago. Just it's not particularly cost effective to pave the Seven Seas Lagoon, and the politician might have something to say about that.
Is that the breaking news that they're filling in Seven Seas Lagoon? That would be awesome.
No,
just the world's largest esplanade.
They need like Lake Pontchartrain, like that bridge.
They should turn it into a parking lot. Can you imagine parking and being able to walk right up to the park like that? That'd be so awesome.
Then you can really see the Disney purists freaking out.
That would be terrible.
Why? Get the preferred parking where it's like literally 20 feet from your car to the gate.
And then those bungalows get the beautiful parking lot view. What? No.
You know, they're so bougie.
Terrible.
Snobs. I don't like snobs anyway.
So, perhaps the second biggest thing that Disney's doing this year is Disney Plus.
Yeehaw!
So I asked the team to come up with their two most anticipated pieces of original content. One that will be available at launch, and one that's coming out, you know, that's been announced, but we don't know the release date and not at launch. And okay. So I am going to start with Alex.
Well, for launch day, I mean, I feel like the obvious choice is Lady and the Tramp. It's hard to think of something I'm more excited than that. If I had to pick a close second, probably Noelle, just because I'm really excited for Christmas as well. But looking beyond November 12th, and not much is known about it other than what they shared at Expo when they announced it, but I'm really giddy about the return of Lizzie McGuire.
Really? You're not alone.
I think it's cool. I mean, we've obviously, again, we talked a little bit about this being the era of reboots and remakes, but we've seen things like Raven's Home and Girl Meets World, where some of the characters from Disney sitcoms of the past have come back. But having seen the premiere of High School Musical, the musical, the series, and seeing how adult-oriented, or at least, you know, teenager-oriented that is, and that it uses humor that you would never see on Disney Channel, I'm excited to see what direction they take this Lizzie McGuire entering her 30s in New York series.
Good choices.
Kyle.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
For opening day, when I was looking at the slate, one of the things that surprised me was that Forky Asked a Question was really jumping out at me as something I could just turn on and it would be, you know, short and light. But then looking closer, I definitely have to say Imagineering Story. I think that would probably be my choice, even though it's going to take more of my attention. I am interested to dive into that. And then long term, it's another close race between some of the Marvel series, but I think I got to go with The Falcon and the Winter Soldier again. I say again because we've discussed that a little bit before. But
Doobie.
So I'm looking for the reboot of Disney Inside Out because George Foreman's looking really good these days, and I love Brienne Leary. But of the things that they actually are going to be doing, I think Noelle, because I love watching Hallmark movies with my wife, and that looks like it's going to be a good one. But I would also put the Imagineering Story on there. And then off into the future, I want to see the Home Alone reboot with Gideon.
Rebecca.
Well, launch day. I'm looking forward to the Jeff Goldblum story. What's it? Is it World According to Him or something like that?
Yeah, World According to Jeff Goldblum.
It sounds like a really quirky, fun show, exploring new things. He describes himself as a new student. It sounds fun. It sounds new. It sounds different. Very close to that is Noelle, but I figured everybody else would say it. Talking about Jeff Goldblum's show. And then in the future, I cannot wait. I am counting down the days to the Day at Disneyland, Day at Disney documentary series.
Now that's the one that was the huge announcement at the expo, right?
Yeah. The secret project style announcement.
Yeah, it's going to have an accompanying book. It's going to initially be a documentary show, right? So it's going to be what I think they said 90 minutes, but then it's also going to have 52 like little series moments. So
I thought it was going to be real time, like 24. I guess I'm wrong.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Interesting that no one mentioned Mandalorian.
Yeah, well, Mike's not. Well, first of all, we're not done.
I did definitely, I mean, Fanboy hasn't said his, but I was expecting a lot of you guys to, like, I was expecting Mandalorian to be the commonality between all of you, not Noelle.
Oh, yeah.
I figured I'd be the odd duck being like, I'm really excited for Noelle.
That's
I'm a little excited about Mandalorian, but I'm a little apprehensive because I'm concerned it's going to be a little too Western rustic for me than I enjoy in my TV.
Not my Star Wars.
Well, I'm gonna go. Okay, Kyle, are you writing these down?
Nope.
Dang it. So we're all gonna have to go around again. But because we're turning this into an article. But
we can email these to you.
At launch, as much as I hate to repeat someone else, Lady and the Tramp, because
of course.
There's never been a more attractive Disney heroine than the woman who is...
Yeah, you made eye contact at the expo.
You didn't hear about the old Yeller twist at the end?
Stop. Can you imagine if they turned into, like, my girl? That's like Titanic.
Where's his collar? No one knows who he belongs to if he doesn't have his collar.
You thought it was going to be this tremendous story. Next thing you know, she's floating away on a piece of wood, and the poor tramp can't get on.
No, he could get on. He just chose not to.
There would have been more water on each of them. They both probably would have died if she had given up room on the door.
So, and my, what do you, I have a, here's what we're going to do. What do you think my most anticipated is for after that?
Oh, from that list you sent us?
I would guess the Mandalorian.
No. That's the list of that's at launch. I already did my at launch.
Oh, okay. So like after in that. The future?
Yeah.
The Phineas and Ferb movie.
The inevitable Lady and the Tramp 2, I'm guessing.
Maybe if that's announced, but not yet. My most anticipated...
Oh, Sister Act 3?
Not announced.
It is on Wikipedia. Oh, in development, it says on Wikipedia.
That in development on Wikipedia means not announced.
Home Alone is in development. I thought they announced that. All right, never mind. Go on.
They alluded to it.
Yeah. I am most looking forward to Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made, because... As we talk about IP and Disney rehashing all this stuff and doing remakes and all that, I'm excited that Disney Plus means that Disney can actually go back and make just movies that are Disney because they're good family storytelling and not necessarily have to be based on something that already exists. As much as I'm not one of those people that complains about it always everything being franchise-based, I am excited that Disney will have an option to take some risks. And I don't mean that like in any weird way, but in, you know, the way that, you know, it's not necessarily everything has to be based on something that has a pre-sold audience.
Like Noelle.
Like Noelle.
And the Willow series.
Where are you getting this? Are you on We Got This Covered?
I'm on Wikipedia, the Untitled Willows sequel series.
You should try laughingplace.com/w/Disney what would you call that? Dash?
Yeah.
Plus.
Is that HTTP or HTTPS?
Oh, it's TTPS. We're safe.
Yeah.
You know, in trying to find a place to see all the upcoming films, that actually did not occur to me.
Dude. It's the second place I went.
And we've even got that really cool countdown that Becca did. That's so awesome.
That is neat.
Thank Becca for me.
I will.
I like how it is constantly cycling through the brands or IPs that are going to be on the site.
That's really cool. All right, this is Chip and Dale's coming. I'm not sure what that means.
I like to call them Tick and Tack because I'm spending too much time in Paris.
Oh, I forgot about the magic of. Oh no, that's going to be kind of sappy. I'm not too into that.
The magic of what?
Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Is Loki live action?
Yes.
Yeah. Is Falcon and Winter Soldier live action?
Yes.
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 And they're both starring the original peoples?
Yes. I'm more of the Marvel shows. I'm most excited for WandaVision and What If.
Is this original untold true story Togo or Togo?
Togo. Togo. Okay. It's about a sled dog.
Right. Yeah.
Not an Uber Eats
sure
driver.
Which way they pronounce?
Yeah. Subway.
I preserve Journey. And if it's successful, they'll franchise it into Jersey Mike's.
Firehouse.
Jimmy John's.
Is Hawkeye live action?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Everything's live action except for What If. We'll just cut that to the chase.
Well, I guess we don't know for
about
Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight and stuff. But
yeah, I just kind of think we presume that. What's that?
Clone Wars.
That's animated.
She-Hulk.
Presumably live action.
Shop Class.
Reality.
Out of the vault, what are you guys most hoping to see that you haven't seen on the list yet? Because I know it's going to take a while because you can't just pick something out of the vault and go, hey, let's throw this on digital. You know, you got to make it look pretty. So it could take a while before they get to some stuff.
There were some exciting things revealed through the Netherlands test. Did any of you see that?
Yeah.
One of my wish list items was confirmed through that, and that doesn't necessarily mean it'll be here on the U.S. Site, but So Weird, the Disney Channel show. I loved that.
Okay.
Excited for that. My, like, ultimate TV show wish list item is Torkelson's. It doesn't look like we're getting it at launch, but that doesn't mean we'll never get it.
Right. That's my feeling about Disney Plus is it's like even if it's not there day one or they don't announce it day one, you know, depending on how things go, you can see it in the future.
I've always wanted to see a TV movie from the Wonderful World of Color era, The Horse Masters, which starred Annette Funicello, Tommy Kirk, and Janet Monroe, who were all kind of big Disney teenage names at that time. And it's like the one Annette Funicello thing that never got a DVD release. VHS-wise, it only got a release to video rental stores in the 80s. Never touched the Disney Classics collections in the 90s or anything like that. And I've always wanted to see it. And you'll see like clips of it every once in a while when they're talking about that era. So I hope they finally show it to me.
I hope we get Gallagher.
The comedian with the watermelon?
No, the newsboy.
No.
No, Doobie was right.
Okay.
I want to see him count down to the opening of Tower of Terror again.
I have that on DVD in my living room, if you want it.
Can we... Does Disney Plus take submissions? We can give it to him.
I was going to say, you can run that on Laughing Place, fanboy.
Yeah, we found a cassette recording of the Downtown Disney song that they only did at the announcement back in who knows.
I'm not sure we found it. We found the tape it would be on. I don't know if it's actually on there because they may have done it before we started the camera.
True. We don't have a cassette player. By the way, just as an aside, anyone that's listening, the Disney Plus landing page on Laughing Place is really, really good. I recommend you check it out. I'm impressed.
Thanks to the technological know-how of our founder.
No, actually, it's thanks to mostly the work of Becca, who is, what is her title, Chief of Static Content or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, she does a good job.
She might not know that, because I didn't send that email out to everybody.
That's a lot to stay on top of, but this is a really pretty page. I'm impressed.
She must be important. Her title has a lot of words.
It's not like she's executive editorial director.
The vault item I wish they would release are stuff like from the Disney Channel, like the Disney World Inside, Disneyland Inside Out and that kind of stuff. But what I'd really love to see all the sing-alongs on there. they just decided, hey, we're going to put all 20 or whatever there are sing-along VHSs on there. That would just be so much fun. I would love that.
Would you settle if they just put on Toot Whistle Plunk and Boom?
No, because that's like the worst of the bunch. I want Disneyland Fun. Zip, 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 zip. That's the one I really want more than anything.
And I want it, if you change the language to French, to show in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah. Oh, and the one where friendship. What's that? SOS. What's that spell? Sauce. That line just always cracked me up.
I quoted something from that the other day, and Fanboy didn't get it. And I can't remember where we were, but I just went, I wonder what this place looks like at night. And he was like, what are you doing?
So, confession, I've never seen Disneyland Fun in English.
Fix this.
I have it. I've
seen the zip, 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 zip part a lot because I used to play it at the Disney store that I would frequent. But
you know that
the one time I tried to watch it, I watched a ripped DVD that was all in French.
Oui.
I have it.
That Mary Poppins is a very important person to you.
Official Disney DVD.
I have the VHS.
I had the VHS. That VHS ended up at a Goodwill.
But now none of this matters because Disney Plus is coming.
And Disneyland Fun may or may not ever be on there.
What do we think about like the future of Disney DVD releases? Are they like still going to bother?
Well, they're already kind of not bothering. They just raced Sleeping Beauty and 101 Dalmatians out to the Walt Disney Signature Collection branding. No marketing. I think they did bother to make a trailer for Sleeping Beauty, but they never really put it out there other than on YouTube. They didn't do any new bonus features for them. It was really a like final outing on home video before the vault is eradicated with the launch of Disney Plus.
End of an era.
And Jungle Book may never get its Walt Disney Signature Collection release.
That was the last film Walt worked on too. What a shame.
Yep.
They did just relaunch Disney Movie Rewards as Disney Movie Insiders.
Yes, as a way to encourage you to continue to buy things digitally.
Is it $4.95 a month, but I get all of Buster Olney's articles now?
No, that's ESPN Plus.
Sorry.
So this is the 300th show, guys. And Doobie, do you have anything you want to share? That we've wasted 600 hours or whatever on this?
When we start, first of all, that's 300 from literally the beginning, right? The show's before Rebecca and I were on it, I'm assuming. So, yeah, when this started, this was two people that no longer have anything to do with Laughing Place other than the occasional tip or picture. So, didn't think it would last this long. Not sure why it did. Not sure it should have. But, I'm very happy you guys have been able to carry it on, even though we've stepped away. It's fun to come back every now and then. And like Walt said, you can dream it, do it, build it, but it takes people to – never mind. Rebecca, you got anything?
Can't be worse than that.
They don't call me Newt Rockne for nothing.
The Laughing Place podcast started with two people who were very excited to talk about Disney, and they weren't writing – per se, so it was an outlet for them, and then they moved on, and Doobie and I thought, we'll give this podcasting a try.
It's a different thing, yes.
Sorry, not literally. And so Doobie and I decided, hey, let's sit and chat. We do this anyway over dinner, out and about, so let's do it around the dining room table and force other people to listen to it. So, yeah, fun stuff.
I want to thank, by the way, by name, well, to the extent that I will say names, Captain John, Donnie, who was a part of it for a while,
of course.
Fanboy, Alex, Kyle, Jeremiah, who pops in quite a bit, Rebecca and myself, and Captain John's partner from way back in the day, who I'm not sure we should say
his name. You can say his first name.
Okay, Daniel. It was Daniel and Captain John who first started this way, way, way back when, so... All of you guys who contributed so much, A, thank you, and B, you know, thank you again.
Well, I think we all just are trying to keep that torch going, and you guys, I mean, throughout the whole site, sparked a bit of inspiration in all of us that we're happy we still get to work with you, talk to you at Disney every day. And people might not see your names and faces as much as they used to, but they don't know how much work and involvement you would play behind the scenes. And this show would not be continuing without you guys. And we hope you guys will join us again because it's a lot more fun with you.
It was fun. Thanks for inviting
us. Yeah, it actually was fun. Talking Disney, who knew?
So,
about Expo?
Huh?
Well, I was just asking Rebecca, since this is our first podcast in a long time, and there was a big Expo, if there's anything she wanted to throw in there before we finished up. She said no.
But we do want to just sort of highlight on the we are kicking off our 31 days of Halloween. And as part of that, our next podcast will be a special Halloween Spooktacular. Ooh! Ooh! So if you want to join in that fun, send us an email, podcast@laughingpoise.com, or you can give us a call at the phone number that's located on the bottom of our website, which is 404-594-4577. And we'll share ghost stories around a campfire, roast s'mores, and celebrate Halloween.
Ooh, I also want to thank Marshall, Naf Walter, Wing at Nike, the girls from WSU.
Oh, and, yeah. I definitely want to thank them.
And everyone else who used to call into the show regularly and contribute. That was so much fun.
Well, thanks, guys, for listening. We hope to be around in 300 more episodes when I'm 870 and Juvie will no longer be with us. Have a
and
great
we won't
day.
Have any more original attractions still.
Oh, that's sad. It wasn't sad until I said it. Now I'm sad.
All right.
So, bye, everybody.
Bye.